Computer love. Computer love. I call this number. I call this number for data. Date.
Watch your step before getting onto the boat. It's going to be a little bumpy. My name is Caitlin, and I'll be the captain of today's voyage on the Whale Watching Experience. I will also act as your translator. Yes, you heard that right. Your translator. I can speak whale. Ooh, there's one now. Let's take a listen. It's trying to say hi. Look, it's trying to wave at us. Now it's saying... You're listening to WONY Oneonta 90.9 FM Red Dragon Radio. That's kind of random, but all right. Uh-oh. It's lifting its flipper. It's too close to the boat. Oh my god, it's going to splash. Ugh. Keep it locked.
The Department of Veterans Affairs is so innovative, it not only improves the lives of veterans, it transforms the lives of healthcare professionals who serve them with access to the latest technologies and remarkable benefits. Transform your future at vacareers.va.gov.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. It's currently summer break, and our DJs are out of the station enjoying the sun. But don't worry, we'll be back in the fall with new DJs, new shows, and new programming. To find out what's happening in the area off campus, check out the City of Oneonta's page. Otherwise, have a great summer, everyone. Enjoy WONY's summer programming and keep it locked.
WONY 90.9 Oneonta FM Radio. The Alumni Hour. Keep it locked.
The following radio broadcast has been pre-recorded. The content you are about to hear is not being broadcast live. Thank you for tuning in.
Better known as Erin Darling, class of 2003, and this is Eating Upstate on WONY. Since 2021, I've been reporting on local restaurants and food professionals in the Western Catskills for WJFF Radio Catskill, located in Liberty, New York, and I'm sharing a few of those broadcasts with you today. The first two, Brushland Eating House and Tiny's, were first broadcast in 2022, and the second two, First Bloom and All Sorts, were broadcast in 2025. Three of the four of today's subjects are located within an hour of the SUNY Oneonta campus, with the exception of All Sorts, which is located in Hancock and just over an hour from the SUNY Oneonta campus. The first segment is Brushland Eating House, located in Bovina, and was first broadcast on April 30th, 2022. I don't think too much has changed about the operations of the restaurant since then. However, in 2023, Chef Sohail Zandi was nominated for a James Beard Award for Best Chef in New York State. I'm so excited to share this with the local Oneonta community. Please enjoy.
So I just like for like 2 minutes, like to talk about like celebration and ceremony. It's like words that are sort of like thrown around, and we take them for granted a little bit. Unfortunately, like we only really celebrate or have ceremonies when like really big things happen. You know, someone passes away and you think about all the great life they lived, or you know, someone gives birth and you think about, you know, what to start to a new life. But like tonight we have some birthdays here and we should celebrate those people. We have some anniversaries here, we should celebrate those people. We should celebrate that it's Saturday night and you're out to dinner in a room full of other people, right?
Yeah.
It's important. It's important. If you don't celebrate it, the ceremony and stuff becomes like mundane very, very quickly. So like this is what this moment's for. Like take it in, remember. Every day we show up here at work, we're celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that we get to be in a space and provide food for people that appreciate it and who are enthusiastic about it and who give it about it, you know? It's an honor to do it. I don't have really better words than that. And so I appreciate you guys being here, and I just hope everyone has a good time. We just, you know, raise a glass to each other, to people celebrating something, to the room celebrating. So just knock glasses with whoever you want and have a good time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
See you guys.
What you just heard was Sohail Zandi toasting the crowd at Brushland Eating House on a balmy Saturday night last October. Brushland Eating House, located in Bovina Center in Delaware County, serves prefix meals with vegetables from their own garden, as well as ones provided by other local farmers. Like a lot of dining establishments, their operations were upended by COVID, but they used the opportunity to revamp their operations. They also own a couple of adjacent Airbnbs, and they're the subject of today's Eating Upstate. Sohail and Sarah Zandi first met working at sister restaurants in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn in 2012. Shortly thereafter, Sohail relocated to Martha's Vineyard, where he worked on a cheese farm, and Sarah soon followed. Martha's Vineyard left them yearning for a slower pace of life, but they wanted to be closer to their family. Inspired by a couple of trips they had made early in their relationship, they decided to settle in the town of Bovina. In order to live in the Catskills full-time, however, they would need to find work. So they decided to open their own restaurant. Here's Sohail.
I never imagined we'd own a restaurant, but after living in Martha's Vineyard, we knew we wanted to move back to live in the Catskills for no real reasoning other than we'd been there a couple times and we're charmed by it, and it felt close enough to New York City, and it felt like it was accessible in terms of, you know, the pricing of buildings and just like general cost of living. So just tried to find a way to make that happen. How are we going to be able to live there? It was really the number one goal. I was working on a farm in Martha's Vineyard making cheese. And so that was kind of the mindset, was buy a piece of property and maybe have a small farm of some sort. And then I wisened up to the fact that that wasn't really a great way to make money. But eventually the idea was to have the farm, then maybe build a restaurant on the farm later on. So I searched long and hard for like a kind of like a farmhouse with some property. And we stumbled upon the restaurant building, and it sort of dawned on me that the best way to do it, to make it, to get to the ultimate goal of living in Bovina or the Catskills in general, was to buy the restaurant building, do the restaurant first, and then later on build out a garden or farm or whatever other things we were still interested in after that.
Brushland Eating House first opened in 2014. The following year, eater critic Robert Sietsema crowned Brushland Eating House, quote, the hickster restaurant of the year. And the year after that, Condé Nast Traveler named Brushland Eating House one of the 207 best restaurants in the world.
You know, it was just affirmation, I think, that we were doing, like, because when we set out with, you know, starting a restaurant in a small town in upstate New York, I don't think there was, like, a lot of, you know, it seems like a very crazy idea. Even our, you know, closest friends, you know, there was a lot of skepticism, I would say, about coming, you know, not outwardly, but, you know, you can feel it from your loved ones and, you know, the people who are closest to you, you know, they'll smile and nod and say, that sounds like a great idea, but they sort of do it through, you know, they're gritting their teeth a little bit. So those things were just affirmation to us, and they were kind of just a little bit of wind in our sails to keep going.
Despite the acclaim, by 2020, they found themselves burning the candle at both ends. Then COVID shut everything down. For many restaurateurs, COVID found them in the pit of despair. But Sohail and Sarah found an opportunity to reinvent themselves. They had other factors to consider as well. That August, they welcomed their firstborn daughter. Throughout the pandemic, they offered barbecue on Thursday nights and something they called pod dining, private dining in a group setting.
I think they've been shifting so much in the, you know, the last couple of years. So we always just try and stay flexible and offer kind of what makes sense for us. At that time, you know, people had spent that whole summer sort of doing to-go food and eating outside, and the weather changed. And we were at a point where I don't remember if there was, you know, government rules or if these were like just weight of the world rules, but we weren't ready to invite people back into the restaurant kind of as like a mixed group. So what we did was saying basically you could privately rent the restaurant. It was a private rental of the restaurant space for the evening. And so it could be anywhere from two people to who would come and eat at the restaurant just by themselves, up to a party of 15 or 20 or whatever you were comfortable with. Usually it was smaller numbers because the people who were taking advantage of, you know, that experience were people that weren't comfortable eating with other people. And that's why they they wanted to go out and eat. So it was pretty cool because we hosted a lot of people who would come in and say, this is my first time eating in a restaurant in X amount of time, like a year or over a year. And so the majority of the pod dining was done. So the way it worked was that I could basically do it all by myself, is that I could cook the food and host the people. So we wouldn't have to expose, you know, the patrons to that many staff members. It was just literally me and them in a space. So it was a pretty intimate experience, and it was, I think, a lot of fun for a lot of people and kept me busy because it was a lot of work for one person. But yeah, that's what we did until kind of maybe around this time last year.
In its early days, Brushland had been open 5 nights a week. Previous owners who had had restaurants in the area operated their restaurants as passion projects and at times would not open for the day simply because the owners didn't feel like showing up. Sohail and Sarah wanted to prove to the community that they were here to stay. And in order to do that, they kept it open 5 nights a week. When dining restrictions loosened up, they made the decision to cut down their operations from 5 nights a week to 2, and shifted from a walk-in restaurant with a regular menu to a reservation-only prefix operation. In June of 2021, they resumed regular operations.
Well, you know, after having some time off or, you know, away from regular restaurant service, I'd say that we kind of wanted to look at the landscape of what we were doing and sort of we wanted to focus on the things that we really enjoyed about what we were doing, about having a restaurant, about feeding people, hosting people, and we wanted to focus on those things, and we wanted to sort of figure out a way to eliminate the things that we didn't like about having a restaurant, just the general stress of it and the push it to the limit kind of attitude that happens, you know, every day. And it seemed like a really obvious time to kind of shift. And I think the world was shifting, and I think that, you know, staffing is limited. And so everything kind of just lined up to the fact that, you know, we should sort of scale back and do something that's like more focused on the experience and not so much focused on trying to squeeze every dollar and cent out of the business. And I kind of use this analogy a lot. Like, I think when you start a business, I think you count every penny. And I think that's what makes a great business, that people care about making money. I think if you don't care about like maximizing in the beginning, then it's just not going to be successful.
Each night opens with a free cocktail and a toast. Bovina is a dry community, meaning that it's illegal to buy or serve alcohol, But thanks to an abandoned hotel development in the 1990s, hotels and inns are permitted to serve alcohol. The Airbnbs they own qualify them as one such establishment.
Right out there, am I correct about that?
Yeah, exactly.
So do you like have a garden out there? Is that?
There's a garden, yeah, that I've had for the last, like, you know, 5 years or so.
Okay.
So, yeah. And we get a lot of, like, herbs and stuff like that from that garden, mostly herbs and smaller things. And we get a lot of our, like, larger quantities of produce from our local farms.
Oh. Brushland tries to rotate their meat sources. They get their beef from Bramley Mountain Farm, also in Bovina Center, as well as Fieldstone Farm in Richfield Springs near Cooperstown. Chicken comes from Grenon Farms in Merredale, as well as Black Willow Pond Farm in Cobleskill, where they also source their pork. Lamb comes from Evans and Evans Farms in nearby Andes. In addition to their own garden, they get their vegetables and other produce from Berry Brook Farm in Hamden, Rock Royal Farm in Walton, and Star Root Farm located in Charlottesville in Schoharie County.
Whole animals are kind of like a quarter cow or like a half a pig. And so we're really like dependent on slaughter schedules with those things. So we kind of are, it's kind of like maybe the most stressful thing about the job is like juggling where those proteins are coming from on a week to week basis. And then we're blessed to have a couple of really great vegetable farms in the area that are getting better every year. That's something that's there on the sort of the same timeline as the restaurant, where those things didn't exist 10 years ago, but they sort of have matured over the time, the last 10 years. And we have some really great local vegetable produce that comes to us from three or four really great farms. And there's mushroom people, and there's, you know, we can't complain about produce anymore, except for in the winter, but there is none.
They utilize the animal from nose to tail. And on the night that I visited, they were working their way through a pig.
Oh, nice.
It's a pig week, so we got a whole pig in on Wednesday. And, we just sort of cook the pig for a week.
So you got a pig in on Wednesday, and now you're in the process of making... there we go.
That's the shoulder.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, so, yeah, we go through it. And basically, we'll make the rest of it into sort of like preserved charcuterie or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. It's nice. It's been really good. This here is the sort of getting into the, because not everyone eats pork and some people don't eat meat and so all that, so it's a lot of organizing, getting organized in our brains for, right, figuring out where stuff,
who's going to get what.
That's the difficult part.
Sohail considers the transition to be a resounding success. All their old regular and semi-regular customers enjoy the new format, and he describes them as being over the moon. Here's Sohail himself with the final word.
You know, I think that we're just going to try and keep getting better at what we're doing and to just not be satisfied with the experience and keep thinking of ways to make it better. We don't think that far into the future. It's one of the things that I think is like important to us, is to be able to like look at what's directly in front of us and to be able to like adapt to it. So I think just our ultimate goal for this year is to keep doing what we're doing, you know, make ourselves available to experiences. I think that's something that kind of the new format does, is gives us a little bit of flexibility to do more things outside of the restaurant space. And then, yeah, I mean, just work on being better at all the small things.
Freshland Eating House is located at 1927 County Highway 6 in Bovina Center. Up next is Tiny's at the Hamden General Store, located in Hamden. Tiny's is owned by Antonio Mora, who racked up an extensive resume in New York City's fine dining world before he moved up to the Catskills during the COVID-19 pandemic, first working at Russell's General Store in Bovina, and now serving modest but very flavorful offerings at Tiny's. The following first aired on WJFF Radio Catskill on October 29th, 2022. You're listening to Eating Upstate on WONY 90.9 FM. Keep it locked. According to an analysis of Census Bureau data published by Cornell University earlier this year, parts of the Catskills saw serious population growth as a result of the pandemic. Sullivan County alone saw a surge of over 1,100 new residents during 2020. Neighboring Delaware County saw a more modest increase of 70 residents. Among those new residents was Antonio Mora, who brought with him nearly 30 years of experience working in New York City restaurants. Antonio Mora and his business, Tiny's, currently located at the Hamden General Store in Hamden, is the subject of today's Eating Upstate. Antonio Mora grew up in Manhattan in the Bronx and studied fine arts at the Fashion Institute of Technology. He began working in restaurants in 1994 and spent his entire professional life until March of 2020 working in New York City. Among the restaurants he worked at over the years was Frankie's and Prime Meats, where he met Sohail and Sarah Zandi, whose restaurant Brushland Eating House I profiled back in April. At the time the pandemic hit in March of 2020, he was working as the chef at Quality Meats, located in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and he found himself furloughed from his job. Here's Antonio.
I think a lot of it has to do with like growing up in New York City. I always, as a kid, wanted to leave New York City. I just loved being outdoors. When I came up to this part of the Catskills, I kind of just fell in love with it. It's beautiful up here. And that's really it. It's not nothing more complicated than that. I had some like good friends like Sarah and Sohail and some other friends that I had worked with up here. And I just would visit a lot, like get out of the city, you know, working in high-paced, big restaurants in the city. I just want to get out and take days off and explore, and I kind of fell in love with the area up here.
But his old friends Sohail and Sarah had an opportunity waiting for him in the Catskills. Sohail and Sarah had leased out Russell's General Store down the road from Brushland Eating House in Bovina, but they had closed it due to the pandemic. Antonio moved up to the Catskills and teamed up with Maggie McDowell, who had previously worked with Antonio at Frankie's and Prime Meats alongside Sohail and Sarah. Antonio launched his own business, Tiny's, taken from his nickname, and began operating it within the store. I'll let Sohail explain the rest. Here's an interview I did with Sohail in October of 2021.
Antonio is a good friend of mine from when we used to live in the city, and Maggie actually used to work at the restaurant here, and she had started kind of a little pie business, and, you know, there was an opportunity during COVID to sort of, like, people did a lot more, they wanted provisions, so her pie business kind of took off, and she started making the pies out of there, and Antonio moved upstate after a long time of thinking about it, and so he basically we run the store at this point. We still manage the store, we still oversee all the operations, but they have kind of, I would say, like, micro businesses inside where Antonio does all the like sandwiches and food, and Maggie does a lot of like the prepared pastries and stuff like that. And then they take home all the money they make for themselves, and then the store operates sort of on the shelves and the drinks and the other things that kind of live in the store, which are, again, it's a large umbrella that we oversee, but the income streams are kind of split up in that way.
A couple of months after I conducted that interview with Sohail, he and Sarah decided not to renew their lease of Russell's General Store, which is owned by the Bovina Historical Society. In the meantime, Antonio consulted on the menu at the Andes Hotel in Andes. Eventually, he met Amy Crawford, who had recently opened Hamden General Store. Amy works as a public defender in the Bronx, but comes up on the weekends and occasionally works remotely from the Hamden property she inherited. The Hamden General Store has had previous incarnations as a hardware store and a general store, and more recently as Lucky Dog Cafe. Amy bought and reopened the store during the pandemic as a way to better cultivate community and was looking for a dining component to add to her operation.
So I had finished the job in Andy's, and I had some friends who lived near the Hamden General Store, and they knew that Amy wanted to run, you know, do, like, that store has been, you know, these general stores that are up here, they've been different iterations, but they've always had food and stuff, and Amy was just looking for somebody to help run the culinary program, and I was looking for a new place to make sandwiches, and people in the area, I think three of our mutual friends, and we had never met, three of our mutual friends were like, you guys would be perfect together. And we talked and we hit it off. And then like 3 weeks later, I opened up the Tiny's concept inside the Hamden General Store. And it's been working out really nice.
This past Labor Day weekend, Tiny's reopened at the Hamden General Store. It features many holdovers that Antonio served at Russell's, like his bacon, egg and cheese, BLT, roast pork, and chopped cheese sandwiches. He sources his pork from Woodchuck Hollow Farm in Hamden and bread from Wilson's Bread and Andy's. He also sources from Heller's Farm, located in Bainbridge in Shenango County, as well as Berrybrook Farm in Hamden and Rock Royal Farm in Walton.
You know, there's so many farms around. When you go to the farmer's market on Wednesday, you take a little bit from everybody. When you work in New York City, you meet farmers, but you go to the farmer's market and stuff, but you're a little bit disconnected from from the produce. And up here, it's this part of the Catskills in the summer. It's so bountiful. There's so much produce, but then you're also living in this small community. And you're like, when you go to the store, you see them, you see these people become your friends. They become part of your community. And it's not just like a transactional thing. It's actually, you become friends and then they become a part of your life. So it feels so nice. Like everybody's supporting each other. Everybody's looking out for each other. When you need a favor or you need something, people are always there to help out. And like that is like a really special part of my experience of moving up here and kind of, you know, not being in a big city. There's just a lot more of a family vibe, for lack of a better word.
Some of Tiny's old customers from Russell's have found their way to Hamden. His former work partner at Russell's, Maggie McDowell, plans to join him on occasion.
It's been great. The community is super supportive, and some people didn't know where I was, and now they do. And then I have a lot of like regular customers, so it's been really nice. I think it's like I'm happy to be doing it, and they're happy that I'm back doing egg sandwiches. So it's been really good.
As a lifelong resident of the metropolitan New York City area, Antonio has had to make some adjustments. But for him, the benefits far outweigh the cost.
I think the biggest adjustment is being still and not feeling like, you know, it was very hard for me to adjust to this sense of my productivity was linked to my self-worth and who I was as a person. And I've had this like kind of these moments where I'm like, oh, like I can sit, be still and not have to rush, not have to like just push through the day. And like, it's just been like a really peaceful kind of transition and learning to be still and take my time and do things a pace that I want to has been like really life-changing. I've been cooking since, like in professional kitchens since 1994, so almost 30 years. I think I just got to a point in my career where I was getting burned out, for lack of a better word. You know, it wasn't because of my ex-employer or anything like that. I just wanted something for myself, something that was a kind of like a real true expression of who I am and what I want to make. And just through like happenstance and happy, you know, I fell into the Russell's thing and started making the egg sandwich. And there was this connection between me and the customers and the community. And it just kind of like was like a really special experience. And I put all of that knowledge of those 30 years of experience into just making sandwiches, into that egg sandwich, into organizing my station, into like everything. And it just felt at that time, and even now, it just felt really right. And I think there was something like missing. There was like a, you know, but I think it's just also just part of working in an industry for 30 years. You get tired sometimes. I also feel like probably leaving New York City and those big kitchens probably added some years to my life as well.
Tiny's is open Thursday through Sunday at the Hamden General Store, located at 35796 State Route 10 in Hamden. Next up is First Bloom, located in Bloomville. It is owned by Allison Roman, a food personality made famous for her viral recipes like the stew, the cookies, and the dip. She has published 4 cookbooks, most recently Something from Nothing, which was published last November and also discussed in this segment. This first aired on WJFF Radio Catskill on October 24th, 2025. I'm Erin Shear, and you're listening to Eating Upstate on WONY 90.9 FM, Oneonta, New York. Allison Roman is an accomplished food writer and personality whose recipes have been featured in the likes of Bon Appetit and the New York Times. Some of her recipes, such as spiced chickpea stew with coconut and turmeric, known as the stew, labneh with sizzled scallions and chili, known as the dip, and salted butter and chocolate chunk shortbread, known as the cookies, have gained widespread popularity on the internet. She is the author of 3 best-selling cookbooks, including Dining In, Nothing Fancy, and Sweet Enough. Her 4th cookbook, Something from Nothing, will be published on November 11th. Something from Nothing and Roman's store, First Bloom, located in Bloomville, Delaware County, is the subject of today's Eating Upstate. Allison Roman first became acquainted with Delaware County during the writing and publication process of her first cookbook, Dining In, published in 2017. While she was there, she dined at places like Brushland Eating House, featured on Eating Upstate in 2022, and the now-shuttered pizza restaurant Table on 10, located in Bloomville.
Yeah, we were introduced first by a friend of mine who has a house in Andes when I was shooting Dining In up there, because I just rented an Airbnb. And I asked him, do you know anyone like where I could get fish when I'm up there? And he said, well, you could ask Sohail, who owns Brushland Eating House. I can introduce you. And so he introduced us, and we sort of became friendly from there, and then just became closer. And yeah, I love them so much, and I love their restaurant so much. And it's such a wonderful place to have in the community. And I think they're so influential on how many people have decided to move up there and like pursue their dreams, especially in the food space. They're great. I love them so much.
Like many New York City residents in the year 2020, Allison Roman found herself looking for a house in upstate New York. She struggled to find a home within her price range. However, while she was looking for a house, she discovered that the building that had housed Table on 10 was up for sale. Table on 10 closed at the beginning of the pandemic, and its owners, Inez and Justice Kempthorne, had decided to put the building up for sale to focus on their Airbnb properties.
Well, I mean, I think it mostly comes down to what I could afford. And it's no secret that property in the Catskills is a bit cheaper than Manhattan or the Hamptons or Brooklyn. And I think just for me at the time, I was single and was sort of looking for a place that I could put roots down, regardless of if I got married one day or where the wind blew me. I just was like ready for something, and buying property within New York City or Brooklyn felt impossible and remains to feel impossible. But so I thought, okay, well, I can buy this building and I can stay there while I renovate it to be a store one day. And so slowly sort of was able to take my time. And I thought, okay, well, if I own the property that the grocery store is in, then I don't have to pay rent. So then that's affordable. I don't owe anyone money as a land, you know, I'm my own landlord. And if it doesn't work out, I can always Airbnb it. Like I felt like I had a bunch of options, but ultimately it was sort of like the right place, right time. And that specific property became available. I wasn't looking to open a grocery store in the area necessarily. I was looking for a house, and I was sort of like almost immediately following the pandemic priced out because everybody started moving, and you know, I just wasn't in the bracket to afford the houses that I was looking at. And but somehow this place, Table on 10, came on the market, and I thought, wow, like that could be the exact solution that I, a single person who one day dreams of opening a grocery store, this could be that place. And it turned out to be, I think, just right.
Roman purchased the building in February 2021. After purchasing the property, Roman spent time trying to figure out the best use for the space. She considered many options, including a wine bar and an Airbnb, before settling on opening a grocery store.
Well, I think that because I had never done this before, I had never owned my own business in this way, I didn't really know what to expect. And I think that because I also had, like, I wanted it to be flexible. I wanted it to be like, okay, well, maybe it'll be a wine bar. Maybe it'll be a this, maybe it'll be a that. And I needed to kind of sit in the space, spend more time in the area and figure out like what was actually going to be realistic and attainable. And like also service the community, like what was going to be like the best thing for everyone, I think. Even though I think everyone wants pizza back. And I said very early on, I said, oh, I'm never opening a pizza restaurant. But, you know, I think that it would be very difficult to probably operate a grocery store and like pay rent and figure out how to make that work as a business, because I don't pay myself a salary for this project. So I basically save the money by not paying myself and not paying rent. And you know, it's easy to sustain the business that way. It becomes very affordable when you own the property.
First Bloom opened on Labor Day weekend, 2023. The opening of First Bloom coincided with another major event in Roman's life, getting married.
It was overwhelming. Yeah, it was my hope that we were going to open in May, but we didn't end up opening until Labor Day. So it wasn't the intention to open at the same time as I was getting married, but it is sort of just how it happened. And the alternative was to like push the opening to October because I was going on a honeymoon and the wedding. It was like, it just felt like it was sort of now or never. And we were ready. So it didn't feel necessary to hold the date just to like, you know, but yeah, it was crazy. It was totally not something I recommend, but you know, a lot of people I know that open restaurants or bars or stores, you know, they have like a baby at the same time, or they're moving apartments at the same time, or, you know, life events tend to cluster together for whatever reason. And it's just like the way the universe unfolds sometimes. But yeah, it was pretty hectic, but we got through it.
First Bloom carries pantry items from brands like Burlap and Barrel, as well as their own brand. They carry bread from Cafe Mootsy and Andy's, and source their produce from somewhere in Time Farm located in Parksville, as well as farms connected to the 607 CSA based in nearby Hamden.
Pantry essentials. What are my favorite pantry? Like, what do I deem essential? And I think that's like, because it's not a price chopper, it is my store. It is somewhat curated. There's certain things I don't carry. But like, you know, there's ingredients that I don't care for that I still have. I don't love ketchup. We carry ketchup, Heinz. And it's the same price as Price Chopper. And, you know, but it is like, okay, what do I consider to be the best version of this ingredient? We're going to carry that one. And sometimes it's what's the best and what's the most affordable, and we'll carry both because I want people to have the option. But yeah, I would say that like, for sure, they both sort of informed each other weirdly. There's a few things that we basically co-pack. So they're not ours. Like the olive oil comes from a company called Zoe. So does the sherry vinegar. The spices we buy in bulk and then jar ourselves because it makes it a lot cheaper for the customer. So, and same with the olive oil and the vinegar. So we also sell bottled olive oil and other vinegar that you might notice is just, I mean, it's also great. It's just more expensive. And any spice that we can't get in bulk, that's great, we sell. So we sell burlap and barrel spices, which are great. And also a nice Spanish brand of paprika, which is really great because we couldn't get like a good Spanish paprika in bulk and we didn't want to bulk buy that. But like fennel seed, sesame seed, black peppercorns, chili flakes, certain spices we were able to get in bulk that are high quality. And by packaging them ourselves, we can save the customer a few dollars and still, you know, it still makes sense for us. And so I like that. I think, you know, in a perfect world, in a dream world, I would open a co-op grocery store with like a bulk food section. I think that is the most economical way and fun way to shop. I love the like self-serve bulk food situation. I couldn't figure it out for this particular location for a number of reasons we don't have to get into, but it was, you know, it was a bit much for this project, but that was sort of our version of doing that, of just being like, okay, this is still a high quality product. It's more affordable. And I think especially up there, you get a lot of weekenders and people don't want to buy like a full container of chili flake. They want to get like a little jar and then they can take it with them. If they, you know, you can reuse the jar. It was just like, I was like, oh, this is what I would want. If I were shopping and I were up here visiting for a weekend or staying for 2 weeks, you get your little spices, you can reuse the jars. Like it feels nice.
Owning and operating First Bloom and Roman's time upstate also served as the inspiration for her new cookbook, Something from Nothing, scheduled to be released on November 11th. It features recipes previously featured on Home Movies, the web series hosted by Roman, shot on the upper floor of the First Bloom building. The series is on indefinite hiatus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think just being upstate did, honestly, because I went from being in New York, where like anytime I wanted any ingredient, I could just walk out of the house and then within 10 minutes have it and be back in my apartment cooking with it. And when you're upstate, you have to get in the car, you got to drive to the store, you got to get in the store, you got to leave the store, you got to come back. And it's like a whole thing. And especially if it's the winter or the weather's bad, you're like, I don't want to do all that. So there was or they're closed. And, you know, there were a lot of times where I was like, I only have, you know, a can of beans, like half a bunch of old kale, a pack of frozen chicken, and like an old lemon or whatever. Like, and that's all I have, you know? So I think that being upstate really did force me to cook differently and to think about ingredients differently because I didn't have access to like the beautiful fresh produce at a moment's notice. I just couldn't go like get my favorite dairy products whenever I wanted. So in a way, that informed me opening the store, but also then opening the store informed my cooking.
Following the publication of Something from Nothing in November, Roman is planning a First Bloom pop-up in Brooklyn, scheduled to be held just prior to Thanksgiving.
Pop-up of First Bloom in the city for a few weeks. I'll, you know, it's in an existing space, just, you know, a way to get some of the stuff from the Catskills down into the city. It's going to be a much smaller version, a much different version, but it's just kind of like a nice thing to do pre-holidays for the Thanksgiving season. But yeah, I mean, hopefully we're getting new stuff in all the time. And I think like expanding our produce, which we did this year, was huge. There's a beautiful, perfect farmer's market every Wednesday in Delhi. But aside from that, it can be tough, especially in the colder months, to get access to produce if you don't know where to go, if you don't know what farm stands to stop by, or if you don't want to go to the Round Barn farmer's market on Saturdays. So I think like having that as something that we have more become known for has become really special to me. Because at first I thought, okay, we'll have no produce. It's just shelf-stable pantry. But all of a sudden now we do like equal amounts of produce and pantry. And I like that too, because we're able to support local farms. And so it's been really special. I think what's next is hopefully it just keeps being an important part of people's lives up there. I think like, I don't feel the need to like do anything splashy or extravagant. I just want it to continue to be consistent and good and reliable and open when we say we're going to be open and have good, friendly people working there and good product and, you know, giving people what they need and what they want.
To learn more about Allison Roman's new cookbook, Something from Nothing, visit her website at AllisonERoman.com. First Bloom is located at 52030 State Route 10 in Bloomville. The final segment for today's show is All Sorts, located in Hancock. Owner Hannah Bonaguro lived in New York City for 15 years, working either at vintage stores or coffee shops, or sometimes places that were a combination of both. All Sorts is a similar operation that also hosts a lot of food pop-up events with some very good local chefs and hosts CSA pickups. The following aired on WJFF Radio Catskill on December 22nd, 2025. You're listening to Eating Upstate on WONY 90.9 FM. Keep it locked.
I'm not sure why, like, everyone calls it a hidden gem. And I'm like, it's not hidden, but I guess it's, like, a little bit off the beaten path. But Instagram has definitely, like, that is, I think, like, how we're in business, just because of, like, people discovering us online. And even, like, Brooklyn customers and clients who have houses up here or vacation up here that have kind of followed along with our journey. I just think it's getting them in the door. Like, a lot of people don't even know that I'm here, and I'll meet people that work in town that didn't even know there was a coffee shop in town. So I find that kind of confusing, but I think it's because, like, out-of-towners, they're typing in their map, like, coffee or lunch or gifts, and they're looking for something to stop at, whereas people who work and maybe are in their routine don't realize, like, they don't walk. Like, Hancock, I find it very walkable, but because there aren't that many open storefronts, people aren't necessarily, like, walking up and down the block.
That's Hannah Bonaguro describing the slow burn success of her store All Sorts, located in Hancock. All Sorts began as a store devoted to selling vintage items and provisions, but has since expanded to include coffee, baked goods, and cakes. It also hosts pop-up dinners as well as the occasional dinner service. This month, it celebrates its third anniversary. Bonaguro and All Sorts is the subject of today's Eating Upstate. Hannah Bonaguro grew up in northern New Jersey. After graduating from Simon's Rock College in the Berkshires, she spent the next 15 years working in New York City as a barista, a cafe manager, as well as working in vintage stores, and sometimes working as a cafe manager in a vintage store. She also hosted a Sunday night supper club that served vegetarian dishes. During the pandemic, she opened Your Other Left Ear, located in Fort Greene, Brooklyn.
So we opened a pop-up, and it was primarily vintage. There was no food component at all. And that was running, I was part of that for about 3 years. But during that time, we opened All Sorts and kind of added another state outpost. And then we added the cafe stuff back in. So kind of like went from food industry, like, and then just retail to down back to like retail and hospitality and food again. Yeah. For a while there was overlap, and I was back and forth from the city trying to get this going on the weekends and working in the city all week. But Your Other Left Ear was my original store, project space turned retail store. And now it's like absorbed by All Sorts.
Even before the pandemic, Bonaguro had an interest in relocating to the Catskills. In 2022, she rented an apartment in Hancock and opened All Sorts in December of that year. For a while, Bonaguro operated both All Sorts and Your Other Left Ear simultaneously.
I think it happened a little like faster than I expected. But I was, like, glad to go with that. So, like, when we opened it, we just didn't know it'd be such a food place. And it was, it just became clear that that's what was needed and that I would need to be here more days than just, like, Friday through Sunday. And then I still did both for a while. I didn't have to be at the Brooklyn shop all the time. It was, like, I would go down twice a month. And then, ultimately, I phased that out to just focus on All Sorts. I still have a big like following and people are still on that website ordering stuff. So I've now combined the websites. It's almost like Your Other Left Ear has just been absorbed by All Sorts.
All Sorts conducted its first pop-up in May of 2023 when they hosted a pizza pop-up on the weekends. This year, they hosted pop-ups by Outer Space, a pop-up kitchen devoted to Iranian cuisine with a Texan twist, and the Casa Masa Project, a pop-up hosted by Bethel resident Mercedes Goleep.
I mean, I have mutuals with, like, Mercedes as well as Layla, so they kind of knew about All Sorts. And Mercedes from Casa Masa Project, she reached out to me and asked if she could do the 4th of July weekend at All Sorts. So we spearheaded that together. That was my only pop-up in the summer, it turned out, just because we were open like 6 days a week. So we just, it was just hard to do dinner pop-ups. And hers was, it was great, but it was just like a lot. And I wanted to have the store, like now at this point in time, it more easily adapts into a dinner spot at night because I've like made more space and cleared the areas more. Whereas in the summer, I still had a lot of retail in the shop and it was harder to turn over from like day to night service. But hers was amazing as far as like the food and the turnout. And it was in the summer, so we had outdoor seating actually. And then Layla and her partner Rand came to All Sorts, like I think it was last spring, and introduced themselves and said they wanted to do a sandwich pop-up. So then Layla ended up doing Saturday, Sunday's lunch, which was a little easier to, we had her in the kitchen doing breakfast and lunch sandwiches and bowls. And that became like a consistent thing where we worked together and she helped me up front whenever I needed help with the cafe, which was pretty often.
Mercedes Goleep's The Casa Masa Project offers an interpretation of Venezuelan cuisine utilizing local ingredients. She relocated from New York City to Bethel in 2021 with the hopes of making more connections with the Catskills farming community. This past 4th of July weekend, Goleep hosted a Casa Masa Project pop-up at All Sorts. Here she shares with me why she chose All Sorts to host her pop-up.
She wanted to have a series of pop-ups with different chefs from the area. And so we agreed on a date, and I had been at All Sorts before, but as a customer, and I found that place super charming, and just the vibes of like it feels like a living room, and you are surrounded by art and cookbooks and baked goods, and just Hannah's personality is also like super warm and cozy. So immediately when she mentioned that idea, I was absolutely on board. And it was a really good collaboration in the sense that I was able to, like, Hannah and I share the same ethos about like slow, local, handmade, reuse, recycle, like all of that stuff. So I was immediately in love with like all the farmers that like she sources the food from. I think I sourced most of it from her marketplace. And it was just like a natural and organic collaboration in a way. Like I felt very welcome at like, it was like like cooking at Hannah's home.
All Sorts sources their coffee from Rock Royal Farm in Walton and Big Mouth Coffee Roasters in Beacon. They source their tea from Tay Tea in Delhi, and their meat from Catskill Smokehouse, also located in Delhi. For dinner services and pop-ups, they serve beer from Upward Brewing Company in Livingston Manor, wine from Behemoth, a winery located in the Finger Lakes in the town of Burdett, located in Schuyler County, as well as Dear Native Grapes, a winery based in Walton that was profiled by Eating Upstate in 2023. During the warmer months, All Sorts also hosts CSA and produce pickups from 607 CSA.
People can sign up for shares and pick up weekly, or they can just order a la carte. Like someone could order like butter and bacon and a loaf of bread. It's a little tricky because their pickup day is Tuesday. So like weekenders and people that aren't always here, like leave stuff with me until Thursday or Friday. But yeah, we do weekly shares, but then you can also just order whatever from, they work with so many different producers. So I've been getting that going more where people will order like yogurt or butter through the CSA.
Going forward, Bonaguro hopes to obtain a beer and liquor license to make it easier to host dinner service and other evening events. She also hopes to hire more help. Outside of all sorts, you can see Bonaguro is an extra in the new movie Marty Supreme, scheduled to be released on Christmas Day.
Yeah, no, it's something I've actually been interested in from the start, but without having like the infrastructure with like staff and a fully built out kitchen, it's just been like, it's been just me kind of building it and incorporating food more and more and doing pop-ups to see how they go. And we had another one last night and they seem to get better and better as far as turnout and people understanding like what it's about and what to expect. And I really like having the booze component. I think it's really nice to have like an evening place to gather, but it is kind of like a big leap where I would want to make sure I had regular like staff and cooks to actually accommodate having like evening food. I don't want to just serve what I serve at the cafe during the day at night, beer and wine. I want there to be, I have all the menus drawn out, but I would really want to take it to the next level and become a dinner spot. And I just don't, I just didn't want to bite off more than I could chew. And I'm in year three now. And I'm like, I think in the new year, this is what we're going to try to do. Yeah, that's new news. Cat's out of the bag. Yeah, we did like the casting director asked me to help cast people in Hancock, and a bunch of us ended up in it. And I was a little surprised to see, my friend saw that I was in the trailer and texted me. So I'm excited to see that it comes out on Christmas.
All Sorts is located at 169 East Front Street in Hancock. You've been listening to Eating Upstate on WONY 90.9 FM. I'm Erin Shear, better known as Erin Darling. I hope you've enjoyed learning about some interesting establishments in the area, and I hope I've inspired you to go out and explore. This program was written, edited, and produced by me, and the theme song is Desire by Kamazi Washington. I'll be back in the fall with some more music shows. Thank you for listening. This is WONY 90.9 FM, Oneonta, New York. Keep it locked. Thank you.
What a nice day. I should put on some music. Aw, rats. My speaker ran out of battery.
Don't worry, I brought my radio.
You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta.
Brought to you by SUNY Oneonta's Office of Sustainability. Did you know that everyday students like yourself at SUNY Oneonta attend the dining hall to fill up their plates with more foods than they can eat? Much of this food ends up in the trash. But you can change that. Take only what you'll eat and go back for more if you are still hungry. Grab smaller options to start to reduce having to toss the leftovers. Being mindful of your consumption reduces waste and remember.